Item number 7 is from the Director Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture, submitting an informational report regarding the current condition and status of the department's pathways. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Director Black.
Chairman, Supervisors, I just wanted to give a brief overview of where we're at on the parkways. For the past 8 years, we've looked at the deferred maintenance, and we really have a program that we've put together, and I just wanted to have a very brief, high-level discussion with you about where we're at with the historic bridges, with the hard surfaces, and the parkways themselves. So I'll turn it over to staff, but this is really to get you kind of up to speed with where we're at. And then I'd like to bring this back as in the subsequent meetings on really the plan to attack about how we're going to take care of these.
Okay. Please introduce yourselves, gentlemen.
Dave Birch, Milwaukee County Parks.
Carl Stavi, Milwaukee County Department of Transportation and Public Works.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee members, this is a brief presentation to look at our parkway conditions and some ideas for improvement. There's a regular process that's followed to evaluate these parkways. These are highly popular, as we know, a key part of the park system, and we'll talk about some of the benefits of those as we move through the presentation. Many of you know the parkway names, but for those that don't, Dale Creek, Grantosa, Honey Creek, Kinnikinick River, Lincoln Creek, Lincoln Memorial Drive, Little Menominee River, Milwaukee River, Oak Creek, Root River, Underwood Creek, and Story. Total length of miles of our parkway roads is almost 40 miles. Total square yards of pavement, almost 800,000 square yards. So it's a big asset to manage and a very important asset to the park system and the communities. There's parking and no parking zones within these parkways. Many of these parkways have residential properties that abut them with driveways that share our parkways for access. There's signing and sharing that goes on to designate Oakleaf Trail, a very popular Oakleaf Trail system. On Parkway Drive, 30.6 miles. Paved path of Oakleaf alone is over 56 miles. And then we share municipal streets with our neighboring communities to help complete the network system. The uses of the parkway are varied. People use it. The original design, of course, was recreational driving, as originally conceived. They're used as streets for connections in communities, but recreational. They're fantastic for walking, running, bicycling, inline skating. There are speed limit restrictions, and, of course, trucks, buses, and trailers by ordinance are not allowed on parkways. Our standards, we have standards that we comply with when we're reconstructing these roadways, typically 24 to 32 feet, depending on the particular parkway. There is no dedicated right-of-way on our parkways. They're measured by centerline, and elevation of centerline is how they were originally historically described. Typical construction as we move into new standards for pavement is asphalt pavement over a crushed base, and there's usually drainage structures that go in, concrete curb and gutter, culverts, that help effectuate the drainage on neighboring properties and in our parkway, and then a mowed grass terrace. You may have seen some of our parkways naturalized in some areas as a way to reduce mowing, but that's something that the mowed grass areas are very important from a recreational standpoint in these neighborhoods. Bike and pedestrian facilities, those are designed to 10 feet wide when it's a separated path. Parking and no parking zones are established based on need and based on priority and activities going on in the parkway. And the signage that addresses not only informational directional, but we do have regulatory signs that are required. Mr. Stavi is going to talk through our current project on historic survey, which is an important part of protecting the integrity of our parkways in the future.
In 2011, the county hired Mead and Hunt to complete a survey of historic elements in the parkways and to prepare a management plan. That particular contract is 80% federal funded. And it came about as a result of a programmatic agreement in 2009 with WSDOT, Wisconsin Department of Transportation, the State Historical Preservation Office, and the county, and several municipalities that have the parkways that pass through their boundaries. And that programmatic agreement was put in place in order to allow several bridge projects to be reconstructed and move forward. at the time of those bridge projects were being built, SHPO was indicating we should be looking at the entire parkway as a historic rather than just that specific bridge. They allowed us to go forward with the understanding we'd move forward to this this study. So this study is underway. Mead and Hunt has completed the inventory of the historic elements in the parkways, and now we're in the process. That particular document is being reviewed. They're also continuing to move forward right now with the management plan. They'll look at each of these elements that are historic and put some criteria together for how to manage those in the future as we do reconstruction, maintenance, operations in the parkway system. Included in the parkway system, it should be noted that our number of parks, parks that are associated with the parkway system, for example, Milwaukee River Parkway, Lincoln Park is also being evaluated. Root River Parkway, Greenfield Park is also being evaluated. So there are a number of parks in addition to the parkway services that are parkways that are being looked at from a historic standpoint. Management plan process should be completed in 2012, and the benefits for that, it helps to promote the preservation of historic features in the park, gives the Parks Department and the Department of Public Works, as we implement capital projects, guidelines as to how to handle these historic features in the parks for reconstruction and maintenance. And a big element of this is that when there's federal funding involved or a federal permit involved, such as a Corps of Engineer permit, it gives us a much streamlined process. The historic elements have been identified, how to deal with those have been identified, and that helps us to get through the process much more quickly.
The parkway condition assessments is something that are done on a regular basis. Annually, about one-third of the parkways and roadways are evaluated. So over a period of 3 years, we've allowed them to evaluate all the hard surface pavements. The current parkway list on the assessment list with park drives has over 60 segments. The rating system is a numerical system ranking from 0 to 100. 0 is the road is gone, and 100 is excellent, so very poor to one. To excellent as a rating system. If a roadway segment gets a 40 or less rating system, then it's deemed very poor condition. And currently we have 15 segments that rate as very poor conditions. And this is a visual assessment looking at pavement quality, deterioration, cracking, potholes, drainage issues. So it's a system that's used prevalently throughout the country to evaluate pavements. In the last 5 years, 7 segments have reconstructed. So there has been money allocated for some reconstruction of these roadways. At the bottom is a portion of our spreadsheet that's used. We can share that as we develop and update that in the next month or so. And basically it identifies every segment of roadway, what its condition is, when it was last reconstructed, the value of that. And so we're in the process of working together to update that tool. We design our pavements for a 20 to 25-year life. We want to get as much bang for the dollar as possible. We know they get a lot of use, but they're designed for a 20 to 25-year life. Estimated cost, there's a lot of variables that we deal with, the market conditions, price of fuel, schedule, balancing the need for reconstruction with all of our many park activities and events going on. So those are all things that come into cost. Capital improvement project budget is the main source of funding, although in recent years there has been a very aggressive effort in state and federal funding. So we've leveraged those dollars locally with federal funding, state funding that many times is 80-20. Our share is 20%. So we've done a good job capturing some of those grant dollars. Maintenance costs, every year we allocate some funds for crack fill, patching as needed, and it depends on the roadway and which one's deteriorating the fastest and where the citizen calls come from or the supervisor calls come from, but we try to tackle maintenance on an as-needed basis. There's a lot of backlog of maintenance but based on dollars needed. As you know, that's a pent-up need is to continue devoting dollars to these maintenance areas. The recent reconstruction costs vary. So $600 to $1.2 million per mile. It varies depending on where it is, type of soils, drainage, number of driveways, other elements that are being reconstructed. And so if we look at our total replacement value of our parkway currently, it's about $35 million of parkway reconstruction value. Our current rating system, the ones that are currently rated that are in very poor, are about $8 million for need of immediate need. And then we have, in the next 2 to 4 years, somewhere in the neighborhood of $15 million, and we're still evaluating some of these numbers, and we'll be updating them shortly. I mentioned some strategic partners. This is a growing aspect of parkways and our improvements in our parks. We do have projects, many of them with WISDOT, Department of Transportation, relying on them funding, expertise, and many times their projects. The bridge program is a wonderful program that we've taken advantage of. MMSD, as they do work on their projects, we've partnered with them to leverage our availability of access and their need with need for them to reconstruct portions of our parkways or provide us with funds to do so. Municipalities, a recent one, Milwaukee River Parkway Reconstruction with Glendale, a great partnership where they took on that project and reconstructed the parkway. City of Wauwatosa, we're working with them currently on some easements and a small portion of a reconstruction of parkway in exchange for very much needed utility easements. Some of the utilities come to us, you know, on a regular basis, and it's an opportunity to partner with them, too, and leverage some of those requests for dollars in the future. But then these are all partners that we try to encourage and enhance as each project goes along. We start taking a look at potential cost savings, and with every project we look at this. Can we convert this parkway based on need to an Oakleaf Trail? Greenfield Park had a perfect example of one where it wasn't being used very much, deteriorated terribly. That has been reduced to an Oakleaf Trail through the woods, and it's been a wonderfully received by the people in the park. People with motor vehicles still have a way to get to their destinations. Another option is to close roadways to through traffic and just use them for certain recreational activities, not through traffic. Reclaim materials and reconstruction to comply with green print. We're always looking for ways to be more sustainable. Look at different paving materials, but try to recycle those materials on site, not use fuel to haul them away. That's something that's looked at in every segment reconstruction. Snow plowing reduction zones. Those are evaluated on a high, medium, and low priority basis. Our chief of operations, Guy Smith, has a big map in his office that shows all the roadways that we're responsible for plowing. Those are ranked by priority. So when the snow hits, the crews know what the high priority, medium priority, and low priority. The ones we've talked about are potential low priority areas that don't have residential. They're not heavily used. There might be ones that we don't plow. And would there be a cost savings? And those are things that as we move forward in budget times and working through budget together that we need to at least explore. And then other ideas from committee or citizens, we're always looking for ideas on how we can best make use of the resources that we're given for these projects.
Well, that's a cue. Are there questions by committee members? Yes. Supervisor Harris?
Thank you, Chairman. I just have a question about the Oakleaf Trail and how are they determined to be in a certain, you know, sector of our community. So, for example, I guess on the southern end, we have, you know, huge miles and miles and miles of Oakleaf Trail. But then when you get to my side of town, there isn't very much access to it as you, you know, go through the city. And I'm just trying to figure out how did that happen and is there a way that we can get have more accesses to the Oakleaf Trail in my area? And then how can we create parts of it to come through my district or the area, I'll say that.
Director Supervisors, I'd be happy to answer it. There's 106 miles of the Oakleaf Trail, and I believe there's 25 miles that are still on the road. Again, those could be rough numbers. But the whole idea is that's pretty much been laid out, but we are trying to look through those corridors, and I'd be happy to sit and talk to you. I know that we just got the other grant on the UP that we're going to be taking that trail right from the lakefront all the way up to Cole Park. That's going to take you to the Ozaki Trail that you can actually ride your bike from, you know, Bradford Beach to Door County. So we're going to be bringing that all the way through, and that's a $8 million project that we've got the money to purchase and develop it, which is a huge project that I'm very proud about. But to get to the details of each of the Oak Leaf Trail, I'd be happy to sit down with you and go through that with you.
So is it determined, though, by, you know, what is around it? For example, if you have a residential area, would that deter the Oak Leaf Trail from actually being created there?
Chairman, supervisors, you know, the Oak Leaf Trail was really set aside years ago, you know, as the whole kind of connection to the Emerald Necklace, if you will.
Okay.
So every single, you know, I always say that I love parks, but trails are, I really like our trails. And that's one thing that we never had a trails coordinator when I first got here. And that's what Guy Smith's first job was, just to say, what are we doing with the trail? We also have a trail council right now that has seven, nine members on it, that's looking at all of the different aspects of the Oak Leaf Trail and our loop trails inside the parks. So there's a lot of information on the Oak Leaf Trail, how it got there, and what projects we're working on. I don't have that right now. This was more about the parkways themselves, you know, the roadways. But I'd be happy to share that with you. And then if we wanted to come out with another presentation on the Oak Leaf Trail itself and talk to you about each of the different projects, we'd be happy to do that.
Just one more question,
sure.
I think. Now, Haven Woods is also in my district, and I'm just trying to figure out what is our partnership with Haven Woods, mm-hmm. and how do we, you know, navigate conversations around, again, I'm going to keep talking about the Oak Leaf Trail, because I'm just trying to figure out, we'll sit down and definitely have a discussion right. about it, but what is our partnership with Haven Woods?
Well, being the former state parks director, I'm very familiar with my old state park. We work on a lot of different things with the state. Even over at Haven Woods, again, I don't have that list in front of me, but we work very closely with some education programs, things like that. But even at Lakeshore State Park, you know, we do the plowing for them. That was when I was the state director. I was like, well, I'll just work with the county because they've got the equipment. We don't need to duplicate efforts here. So we plow and we mow, and we charge the state for that. So working with actually any of the other state facilities, we're very closely with them. But I can give you an update on Haven Woods as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Supervisor Dimitrieva.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I thought one of the things that was very notable about that presentation was our wonderful relationship with our suburban communities. And I think it's something that maybe doesn't get enough credit. I mean, what a wonderful relationship with Greendale, Greenfield, Wauwatosa. And I know, I remember not too long ago in Franklin, too, we did that wonderful land deal where I thought that was Franklin, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was with Northwestern Mutual, where we got the land swap and added additional land. But I just wanted to show, and for people who are listening, we don't get enough credit for the truly regional and wonderful partnerships with our suburban communities. And I think it gets taken for granted. Mm-hmm. I really do. Not by the suburban communities, but sometimes perhaps by the general public. They forget that we're working together on that shared asset that we all use. So I wanted to salute you for that. I'm also very interested in what was like the second to the last slide about, and I think it might be a further follow-up presentation on the other ideas of what to do. There it is. and, you know, I like some of those ideas because in the same idea as the green print, I know that the parks has done a great job reevaluating, reducing mowing, which, as we know, reduces, you know, our greenhouse gases. And, I mean, there's just so many labor costs, machine repair, benefits go on and on. But I think the same thing can be said for some of our parkways. And I guess I'd look for more information trying to understand what does it mean to go from a parkway to a trail? Like, I guess, does that mean that it becomes naturalized? Or, you know, what does that mean for the user? So as we move that way, I like that. I like that direction. I like the reduction of snow plowing. And, in fact, sometimes people see the first, they kind of see the negative, but they forget about all the positives. In fact, when you reduce plowing, if it's done in the right way, you actually have an opportunity for cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, which are wonderful, and some of those natural areas. It really is. Wish I had time to do it, but but what I'm saying is I think the supervisors would need that information, because what happens for us sometimes is if we don't get enough information out and someone was, you know, looking for that plowing or whatever, it can really be a disaster. So, you know, and I'd be willing, at least in my district, to do some of the pilot programming too. I know I'm in an urban area, but even on the lakefront there's some very natural areas too. So anywho, those are just my couple of constructive comments, Mr. Chairman. Well, I think they're constructive. I hope they are. Thank you.
Supervisor Jersey.
Could I get a little more information on the historical, setting aside the parkways as a historical, is there money attached with that? I mean, grants, that kind of thing?
Chairman, supervisors, I could let Carl Stavi speak to that. But that was the whole meet and hunt. In fact, they just came to the department last week and gave us a presentation on kind of their 80% completion of this report. When we started looking at the parkways, and I've been meeting with Sewer PAC for years trying to say, what are we going to do about repaving these things, and is there a designation? And one of the things that really rose to the top, if I may, is that it was the historic bridges. You know, and obviously if that bridge goes out, that's going to be a problem with that entire parkway. So that's where the federal funding comes, and that was kind of, I won't say the low-hanging fruit, but that's was something that we could attack right away. And that was Mac Malice that was really the leader in that and trying to restore some of these bridges. But with the historic designation, and when you look at what these parkways were designed for, one of the things that Supervisor Dmitrievich had said is, you know, these were the recreational corridors, and they've turned into somewhat thoroughfares or the shortcut on the way home. And when you look at their construction and what they're used for, they've kind of morphed into something else, if you will. And I'm saying, let's take a step back and to Supervisor Dmitrievich, we're not going to do anything drastic or quick without talking to this body about what are we going to do in the long term and what can we do operationally to get them back to those recreational corridors. I know that the Arboretum in Madison, if you're familiar with it, it used to be the same problem, and then they put the fence in the middle, and now you see strollers and bikers and hikers and all of those types of activities because you can drive on it, but you can't get all the way through. Is that something that we want to look at, and where would we do that? So we've literally been taking a lot of different, when we can fit it in our meetings, is to look at the long-term plan of this, and I think it started with that historic designation, and how did we get here, right?
Yeah, there are elements. The bike trails, for example, are 80-20 funded typically. The bridges, as mentioned, are typically 80-20 federally funded. There may be opportunities with roadways. So this will make that developmental process of the design and planning much, much easier. There are some cost implications potentially to the designations, but I think they would have been there anyways in using the federal money. We just know a little bit earlier what those implications are. For example, on a bridge, more likely they're going to not allow form liners that would make it look like stone. They're going to require it to be real stone put on the bridge, and the railings might have to have some tie back to the original design. They may have to be designed to be crash tested to meet current standards, but look like the historic bridge looked like. So there are some implications to this potentially that might raise the cost of the projects. But in a lot of cases, those costs are going to be there anyways.
But if I'm understanding correctly, the designation does give us the opportunity to bring federal monies in for repair and maintenance. Am I understanding that correctly?
That I don't know how that ties into it. It does streamline the process if there is federal money involved and or if there are federal permits, Corps of Engineers permits, or other federal noise permits or whatever that become involved. That process of looking at the historic aspects of the project is there, so now we've done it in advance.
Because in my own district, one of the things I found in dealing with this whole issue of the parkway drives and the trails, et cetera, has really led to a much larger examination of the whole watershed. As the water flows through there, and then you have problems with the watershed, for example, flowing through Oak Creek Parkway into Grand Park, et cetera, and the flooding and the washing out of roads and so on, what's causing those problems? I found that I've immersed myself in an issue that just seems to have never-ending implications. SewerPAC is helping us to write a Oak Creek watershed draft and so on, and hopefully we'll get to a final plan, but the city of South Milwaukee, for example, uses the Oak Creek watershed to send their stormwater through, charges a stormwater fee, and yet looks to the parks to clean up the Oak Creek watershed. So, you know, I have found that this is quite a process to get a hold of. But meanwhile, there's also the questions of citizens. When is the drive through Grand Park, for example, going to be repaired? I thought it was this winter. I'm yet to see anything happening through there. Do we have time frames that we can look to? Are there dates certain? Where do we get that information?
Chairman, supervisors, that's what we're looking at on that spreadsheet right now. I think that's the main thing, is to do that analysis and then give that list in that time frame. And I guess in the long run, it would be nice if we said, okay, there's this $30 million of projects that need to get done. Let's say $2 million a year or whatever the number is, and then here's the list of priorities based on the facts of the assessment, so we can actually have a systematic plan to attack this. That's the whole idea, is that it's not arbitrary, and we can come out and say, this is when yours is going to get done. So those very questions that you have, that's what I want to have answered. At the same time, we do want to look at the Oak Leaf Trail, because if we've got the equipment out there and they're laying that other pavement, it would just make sense to take care of some of those other hard surfaces at the same time. So that's what we want to bring back to you through these next couple of months, is that list with all of this research and kind of the study of it all being done.
So you're going to get a list back to us. Will we have some dates as to, you know, here's a section that's going to be repaired, here's the date?
Chairman, Supervisor, for the projects that are already in the works, yes, we can get you those lists, those dates right now. Just even like we just repaired Lagoon Drive, you know, like just saying what's already in the works. But that's the whole idea. I don't know if there'll be a date associated with it unless we earmark a certain number of dollars, but I think we can give you an order of first, second, third, fourth, and, you know, if you just want to bond for all of it and get it done 1 year, that'd be fine. Or you can figure out how long you want this to last, you know, just putting it out there. You know. So.
Any response on Grant Park?
I'll take that one. Mr. Chairman, committee members, Grant Park roadway is in design this winter, and right now it's looking like spring. And we'll get you the bid schedule.
I mean, that's the problem with newsletters. We tell people something's going to be done, and it's not getting done. So, spring now. Thank you. I'm finished.
Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions, Mr. Chairman. First is on a, well, perhaps a term of art, that's what Supervisor Jurczyk would have used in her legal profession. In this case, I'm thinking, what is the term? I'm looking for the differentiation of terminology. We're talking about the roadways, and I understand very clearly what those are now. But the pathways inside, the walkways inside the parks, this is the ones that Mr. Keegan and I have had some an enjoyable experience with recently in Humboldt Park. What are those called in your terminology? These are not the ones that the cars drive over per se.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, those are park walkways and paths, which are mostly pedestrian in nature, different from the Oak Leaf Trail, which is combined bicycle and pedestrian use, different from park roadways, which are for motor vehicles, if that helps define it.
Yeah. Thank you. That does clarify that very nicely. Thank you. One more question, Mr. Chairman. Do you have a map of the roadways, the motor roadways? Or you just told me the term. I've forgotten it. And is there a second one or a separate one or a combined one with the foot paths, the walk paths?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, we do have a lot of maps. We have maps of all the parkway roads. We have maps of individual parks and the drives and parking lot hard surfaces within those parks. We also have our other hard surfaces that we address, like basketball courts, tennis courts, sport courts. Those are also hard surfaces that we evaluate. And then within each park, there's also walking paths identified. And with the help of GIS, we have those all mapped, and we have an idea of how many lineal feet and square feet there are in each park. So if you need more detailed information about the parks in your district, we can pull that together.
Mr. Chairman, I think I can use my time outside of this meeting to accomplish that. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Very much. Are there further questions? If not, this item is informational. And while I have you here, Mr. Stavi, I couldn't help noticing while watching the Badgers recently, your surname emblazoned in white letters across a red jersey of one of the players. Is that a relative?
That's my son.
That's your son. Well, by all means, tell him we're all rooting for the team and bring back the roses.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you very much.